Now, I want to say it's a joy and privilege to be able to give a word of testimony this evening. As the Reverend Elliot intimated, the night of my installation, I recounted and told you how I felt led and called of the Lord to come and be the minister, the co-minister here in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. It's good to know that the minister is saved. In the great ejection in Scotland in the 1600s, when ministers were put out of their pulpits by the government and by the king, Alexander Peden, the great prophet of the covenant, as he was known, the Sabbath before he was ejected, he went out of his little pulpit and he closed the door. There was a little door on the side of the pulpit. And he took his Bible and he knocked on the door 3 times. And he said, "I arrest you in Jesus' name. May none come in to you except by the way and the door that I have come." And what he meant by that was, as he was being put out of his pulpit by the government, the king and his forces, he was praying to God that no one would come into that pulpit and preach that hadn't come via faith in Jesus Christ, hadn't come through the door or the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And history tells us that during that great ejection, that none of the king's men, as it were, none of those ministers that remained loyal, as it were, to the king, denied the covenant, entered into Peden's pulpit. It remained vacant. And I can say tonight that, like Peden, I have come to this pulpit by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am not perfect. I have my faults and failings, as my family will tell you, but I am saved. I have been born again of the Spirit of God, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would like to read some verses of Scripture from the first Psalm. I read this Psalm the night that I was saved. And I just want to read these verses and then one well-known verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And then that verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let's have a wee word of prayer before we hear the word of testimony and the Scriptures applied to our hearts. Father, we thank you for the saving grace and the saving power of the gospel. And as you saved me all those years ago, I pray, Lord, that should there be one in our meeting tonight that is out of Christ, that, Lord, the words that will be spoken will glorify Christ and touch the heart of some soul and lead them to repent and believe the gospel. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The 3rd of August, 1976, I might as well get it out of the way, was the date that I was born. That makes me 38 years of age. I know I look about 48, but I am 38. I was telling the senior citizens at the dinner a couple of weeks ago what I thought was a humorous story. I was in Dumfries. We were doing outreach there during my time in Scotland with some of the students. I took one of them into a restaurant, bought him his lunch, went to pay for it, and the lady behind the counter, she asked me for the money. She says, 1975. And just off the tongue, she says, you know, that was a great year. And I said, well, you know, 1976 was an even better year. And she just looked at me and says, why was that? I said, well, I was born that year. And she didn't even lift her head. She just said in her brogue Scottish accent, are you sure your mama wasn't lying, son? Well, my mama might be a lot of things, but she's not a liar. And 1976 was the year that I was born. My family attended Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. My father had been brought up, the Abernathy family. I haven't studied it myself, but I'm led to believe we're of Ulster Scots descent. And the Abernathy family were sound Presbyterians. But during the mid-60s, my Uncle William started to attend the gospel meetings in what was then White Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. And he started to take my father along with him. My father was the youngest of nine. And he went with my Uncle William to those meetings. And my father has testified that at 16 years of age, he was saved in those meetings through the ministry of one of the men who was preaching there at that time. I think it was just a visiting preacher at that time. And the family felt that in the particular church that they were attending, there was not the clear sounding forth of the gospel message of salvation by the free grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one section of the family left to join the Free Presbyterian Church, and a couple of my aunts, left the Presbyterian Church to join the Gospel Hall, or the Brethren in Glengormley there. I was born, I should have said, in the city of Belfast, and my family, my father and mother were both, my mother's people were city folk, but they had moved to the Newton Abbey area when my mother was a child, and I was brought up in the Carnmoney, Glengormley area of Newton Abbey, and so I was sent along to Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. My early memories as a child of that church was that it met in Mossley Orange Hall. I remember very long services. The minister then, and I don't think he would mind me saying it, was the Reverend Reggie Cranston, a good friend of the Reverend Elliot. And if we were out at 10 to 1 on a Sunday morning, that was early. So the sermons were long, and I distinctly remember that as a child. But I also remember being sent to all the meetings. Sunday morning, I was sent to Sunday school. We stayed for church. Sunday afternoon, we went to a Sunday school in Carnmoney Orange Hall that one of my aunts taught in. It was an independent Sunday school. We were back to church on a Sunday night. There was a children's meeting in Carnmoney Orange Hall on a Monday night, and then the children's meeting in Newton Abbey on a Friday night. So I was well-churched and well-evangelized. And as a child, I remember particularly on the Sunday morning in Sabbath school hearing the truth about heaven and hell. And as a little boy of 4 or 5, I remember particularly the fact that hell had a great impact upon my heart. I learned that it was a place of punishment for sin. I learned that it was a place of sorrow, and I learned that it was a place of fire. And even at that young age, I knew I did not want to go to that place called hell. We should never be afraid to teach our children the reality of eternity. There is a place called heaven of eternal bliss and happiness and glory. But there is also a place called hell where sin is punished. And I was taught that as a child, and as a child it had a tremendous impact on my heart. And I remember one night, I remember speaking to my mom and dad and simply asking them, could I go to heaven? Because I didn't want to go to hell. And as a child, and I wasn't sure whether to say this tonight, because looking back, I don't believe I was saved as a child. And I'll tell you why in a little moment, but I did kneel at my bedside. I did say a form of the sinner's prayer with my mother when I was very, very young. But looking back, I don't believe that that night I became a Christian. For the simple reason, folks, there was no real change in my life, my outlook, my thoughts, even as a child. And I have to say that what Paul speaks about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I didn't experience that till later on when I was in my late teens. But I heard the message, and you know, as a child, I didn't doubt it. I never doubted there was a God in heaven. I never doubted that Jesus Christ was His Son. I never doubted there was a place called heaven and a place called hell where we would spend eternity. I as I grew up, and even in high school, when I heard all the arguments and the reasonings for evolution, I could never accept it. It was illogical to me. I never doubted the truth that I was taught from God's Word. However, as I have said, I don't believe that as a child I was truly converted, although the gospel made an impact upon my life. My great interest as a boy was football. I've said that on a number of occasions, even since coming here. Being brought up in the greater Belfast area, you were either a Blue or a Glen. And I went with my cousin. I followed the Glens. And I was telling Mr. Elliott, one of my happiest memories as a teenager was 1990. And you folk will probably know it well. Portadown had just won the league for the first time in about a million years. And it wasn't as long as that. But they were going for the double in the Irish Cup final. And they were playing the Glens. The Glens won the Cup, I think it was 5 years out of six in the late 80s and the early 90s. And that afternoon at Windsor Park, I think if my memory serves me right, I know exactly what the scoreline was. The Glens won 3-0, and that was a happy afternoon. I love football, and that really was my great interest. I had no interest in cars. I still don't. As long as they go, I'm happy enough. I had no interest in motorbikes, no interest really in other things. My great interest was football, and I joined a local boys' club at 10 years of age. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that is for this reason. First couple of years was fine. We played in the local league. A couple of years went by, no problem at all, but it was really through that local boys' football club that I was introduced to what the Bible calls the pleasures of sin. I don't know what they call it now, but in those days it was the disco, it was the drink, it was substance abuse, and led on to a bit more. And as I hit my teenage years, I began to be resentful and, I have to be honest, embarrassed at my Christian upbringing. I say that to my shame tonight, because looking back, I thank God for parents that not only taught me the gospel, but took me to a church that preached the gospel. But as I hit my sort of 12, 13, I realized the fellas I wanted to run about with, they weren't going to church twice on a Sunday. They were permitted, if the football team was going away for the weekend, involved Sunday football, they were allowed to go. I wasn't. And I began to be resentful and embarrassed. And at the same time, I noticed a change in our home. Because although we were sent to the local Free Presbyterian Church, and my father has testified he was saved as a teenager, I noticed about that age, 12, 13, a big change in my home. My father started to read the Bible with us. And he started to pray with us and for us. And he started to attend the prayer meetings of the church. And I believe, looking back now, it was the time my father came back to the Lord. And I seen very clearly that there was a change in my father's life and a change in our home. But for me at that time, I decided that, well, Christianity wasn't for me. I wanted to experience more of what the Bible calls the pleasures of sin. And I was determined to explore as much as I could of the world's sins and pleasures. And I suppose from about the age of 13 to 17, that's really the way I lived. Behind my parents' backs, every and any opportunity I could get, I would indulge in sin. And that went on for a number of years. At the age of 15, I left the boys' club. I think I realized at that point I was never going to lift the FA Cup. I was never going to be a professional footballer. And I had a fallout with the manager of the boys' club. I was suspended for 4 weeks by the local league. And I'll not tell you what I engaged in. Let's just say we played in what they call the Down and Connor League. And it was a league that was made up mostly of teams from the other part of the community. And let's just say it could have been quite feisty at times. And I got involved in a bit of trouble, got suspended from playing for 4 weeks. And of course, I tried to keep it hid from my parents. I packed the kit on a Saturday morning, went along, never let on. And my father and mother didn't know until about 6, 8 weeks later, and I'd done something wrong. I can't remember what it was. And the manager decided to drop me in it, and he told my mother and father I'd been suspended for 4 weeks and what I had done. And when my father and mother confronted me, I neared a heart attack at the thought that they knew what I had been involved in. And I thought, well, that's enough of that. If he's going to do that to me. And I walked out, and I basically joined through a friend and through a family member. I basically joined what was a glorified pub team in Belfast. And that gave much more opportunity for a number of years to indulge in the things of the world and the sins of the world. But as I came to, I would say, I was coming towards my 17th birthday. I left school at 16. And just before I became 17, the Lord really began to deal with me. You see, I was searching for happiness and for satisfaction in what I thought were the things of the world and the pleasures of sin. There was no beauty in Christ that I desired him. And as I tried the broken cisterns of the world, I tried more and more and more. And I had a very good friend who I actually met through the local church. He attended the same congregation in Newton Abbey as I did. He was a little bit older than I was. And his parents had a holiday home in County Fermanagh. They often went there at weekends, and it meant that we had his house to ourselves on various occasions. And you don't need me to describe what would have went on there when his parents were away. But I remember one Saturday night, it was either a Friday or Saturday night, we were staying over, and through being a tech, he was enabled to get his hands on a particular form of drug. And we thought this was great. We were going to experiment. We were going to have a brilliant night. And I remember the next morning waking up and thinking to myself, if that's the best the world has to offer, I don't know if I want any more of it. I had such a terrible experience that night. The hymn writer said, I tried the broken cisterns, but ah, the waters failed. And as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. The number of months passed. I left school in June 93. I began to work with my father, who had taken on his own business a number of years before that. And the Lord really began to deal with me. And I remember one night in July 1993, I came home from work. And I did something that I never, never can remember doing before that. Unless my father read the Bible to me, or unless I was in a gospel church meeting, I never read the Bible. I had no interest in it. In fact, I had no interest in reading. The only thing I read before I was a Christian was the newspaper, and usually it was the back pages, it was the sport. And I took the Bible down that night, and it just fell open in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1. And I was sitting on my bed. I shared a room with my brother. He wasn't in the room at the time. And it fell open at the book of Psalms, and I read this Psalm, Psalm number 1. And the Lord began to speak to my heart. And from that Psalm that I read to you, the Lord impressed a number of things upon my soul that night. I realized there's only two types of people in this world. For the psalm talks about the godly man and the unrighteous man or the ungodly man. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how you've been brought up. It doesn't matter whether you've been brought up in a Free Presbyterian family, a Christian family of some other denomination, or whether you've been brought up in darkness, having no religion at all. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either godly or you're ungodly. And as God looks down from heaven tonight, He sees you're either on the narrow road that leads to heaven or you're on the broad road that leads to hell. And I want to ask you tonight, which one are you on as you sit in this meeting? Are you going to heaven? Are you one of the Lord's people? Or are you on the road that leads to hell? I realized that night I was ungodly. I learned further from that psalm that evening. Listen, I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but the Lord was speaking to my soul. I realized that night as I read that psalm, true happiness is experienced by those that are saved, those that are the Lord's. Blessed is the man. And I can't remember where I heard it from, but I remember hearing a preacher talk about blessed. That word blessed means and can mean happy. Happy is the man. And I realized that night, I had the very thing I'd been looking for from I was 12 or 13 years of age. I'd been looking for happiness. And I'd been looking for it in the pleasures of sin. And I realized that night that it was to be found in Christ. As I read that verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'd been living my life, living it by the advice or the counsel of the ungodly. My friends told me, you had to experience all these things that the world could offer, and then you'd be happy and you'd be satisfied. And I realized they were empty, they were void, there was nothing in them, there was no lasting pleasure. I stood in the way of sinners. I said I played football, I stood in the terraces, and I loved it. I loved the banter, I loved the chanting, the singing. I can remember some of the international games I attended. I can remember being at the 1993 game between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. It was some night. And I loved that atmosphere and that experience. But I knew as well that I was standing with the ungodly crowd. And I was standing On many occasions in various different places, I was running with sinners and with the ungodly. And the Lord was saying to me that night, as I read that psalm, true happiness is not found in the way of ungodly living. And I want to tell you tonight, but from experience, true contentment, true happiness, true peace is found in the salvation of the gospel. The hymn writer said, and I've quoted the verse, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord. You know what the chorus said or says? Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And I've proved it to be true. I learned that night as well as I read that psalm, the ungodly would perish. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly will perish. And I realized that night, if I died in my sin, I'd be in that place I learned all about as a child, of being hell. And I don't know what the date was. I think it was a Monday night in the month of July, 1993. Just, I think it was a matter of weeks before my 17th birthday. I remember just shutting, I only had a little Bible that I got in Sunday school. And I closed it and I went to get down at my bed on my knees. And I was going to ask the Lord to save me. And two thoughts came to my mind. The first thought was this. If your friends could see you now, you'd never live it down. And at that moment, I thought, are you sure about this? And I stayed on my knees and I began to pray. I don't know, I can't remember exactly what I prayed. But there was another thought came to my mind. And the thought was this, Darrell, you're talking to yourself. Just in a split second, you're talking to yourself. And I remember just thinking in my mind, no, you're not talking to yourself and you're not talking to the wall. You're talking to the God of heaven. And I can't remember specifically what I said that night, but I know I asked the Lord to save me. And that's the night I believe that I was saved. You know why? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I can testify from that moment in time, I had a desire for the things that I once had no interest in. I had no interest in the Bible, but from that time, I had an interest in God's Word. From that time, I had an interest in prayer. When I went to church, I can remember sitting in the services, and that friend I talked about, he was a good artist, and he used to caricature. There was a vacancy in our church after the Reverend Cranston left and went to Canada. And the vacancy lasted for near 3 years, so we were visiting preachers every week, and he used to caricature the preachers that came to preach and draw them and caricature them and basically drew them in a very funny way. And that's how we'd have spent our Sunday sitting in church. And yet, when I was saved, I wanted to hear what the preacher had to say. I was a new creation. I was a new creature in Christ. And that was a work of the Lord. That wasn't something I worked up. I didn't decide one night I was going to change, that I was going to turn my life around. I simply knew I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. I called upon the Lord and He made me the new creature. I want to tell you, you can do the same for you. You say, preacher, I couldn't live up to what God requires of His preacher. He will save you and He will change you and He will make you a new creature. You put Him to the test. You call upon Him. You ask Him to save you and He'll do it for you. He did it for me, and he's done it for countless others who have asked him to save them. I find it difficult to confess the Lord at the start. I told you about that friend I had through the church. I remember struggling to tell him that I get saved. I remember coming out of the church one Sunday morning. We're sitting in one of our cars talking just before we went home. And I was trying to pluck up the courage to tell him I get saved. And he just, I think I said, "Graham, I've something to tell you." And he said, "I know what you have to tell me." And I suppose I took the chicken's way out. I says, "What's that?" And he says, "You've turned to the book." That was his words. "You've turned to the book." And I said, "Graham, that's right." I said, "The things we've been doing, I'll not be doing them anymore." And he says, "Well," he says, "that's all right." He says, "I hope you keep it." And I kept contact with that fella for probably a year and a half or so after I was saved. But my one concern was that I would have new Christian friends, and the Lord answered that prayer. I don't know if he would want me to mention his name, but I'm going to mention him anyway. I want to thank the Lord for the influence of her brother, Mr. Chris Killen, in my life as a young Christian. I got to know Chris in 1995. We started doing evangelism and outreach work with him. He gave me opportunities to preach. I remember him taking me to a little mission hall to preach the gospel. He gave a report on his work. And he says, "You bring a wee word to close." And I remember preaching that night. I'm not going to say where it was, but I remember shaking hands with folk on the way out. And at that time, it was 1995, the Lord challenged me about serving him in a full-time capacity through those words in Matthew 9, 36 to 38. "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest." I remember going with Chris to a little mission hall to preach, and I did my best. And coming out, Chris happened to say to one of the men on the way out, he says, "Hi, Darrell's thinking of going to Bible college. He feels called of the Lord to go and study, to preach." And I never forget the man's response. He says, "Well, I hope he comes out better than he goes in." So I don't know how it sounded that night, but I want to thank the Lord for the influence of our brother Chris. He did give me opportunities to preach with some tremendous times. Remember some of the outreaches at the parades, whether it was the 12th of July or Derry Day, evangelizing, tract distribution, and I really found Chris a great help and an encouragement to me. And the Lord gave me good Christian friends. I commenced studies in the Whitfield in 1997. I need to really finish here for the time's away. We started the Whitfield College in 1997. And then I have it written down here. And on the 1st of October, 1998, a young girl met the man of her dreams. She's sitting up there on the left-hand side. She might tell you it was the man of her nightmares. But I told the senior citizens too, the first place I took Carol, the first date we had, was actually in the town of Portadown. I brought her to a particular restaurant in this town, not knowing that some 15, 16 years later, the Lord would bring us both back here to minister the Word of God. We worked for the Lord for 7 years in Stranraer and in Fraser in southwest Scotland. While it was a small work and difficult work, we're just saying to some of the folk last night, the opportunity of pointing a number of folk to the Lord. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity we had there. And then from 2009 to 2014, we ministered in our congregation in Antrim. I want to thank the Lord tonight for saving me. I deserve hell. I was a rebel against God. And I had a rebellious heart, rebellious against my parents and against the gospel. But I thank the Lord for saving me. And I thank the Lord for calling me to His work. If you're not a Christian, my desire would be that you would come to know the Lord. He will save you, He will keep you, and He will enable you to serve Him. And I would encourage you, call upon the Lord while He is near. Let me finish with this story. It's just to really encourage you to call upon the Lord now, if you're not a Christian, to call upon the Lord now. I left school in 1993. I remember before I passed my driving test, I was waiting in Glengormley. My parents moved out to the country when I was about 15 years of age, further into South Antrim. And I was waiting for a bus in Glengormley to get the bus out to home again. And I had left school, but a girl in my class came walking down to the bus stop. And she said to me, "Darrell, did you hear about Jennifer?" And Jennifer was a girl, she was only in one of my classes, it was computer studies class. And I said, "No, I hadn't heard." Jennifer left school the same time as I had. She got a job at a place called Mollusk, just outside Newton Abbey. And this other girl from school who had remained in school was coming to get the bus home. She said, "Jennifer took a brain hemorrhage and dropped dead on such and such a morning. 17 years of age. Left school, whole life in front of her. Had got employment. And yet, tragically died 17 years of age, with a brain hemorrhage." Men and women, you often hear the preacher say, "Boast not yourself of tomorrow." And yet, we never think it will come to us, do we? It'll always happen to someone else. We think of that tragedy at the start of the week. A man going about his business. Never thought that morning that he got up out of his bed on Tuesday morning to go to his day's work, that he wouldn't come home. You do not know what a day can bring forth. The young can die. The old will die. Because you know not the day of your death, I encourage you, seek the Lord. It will be the best decision you ever make. He'll make you happy in Christ. He'll save your soul. And He'll give you a song in your heart that the world could never give. May the Lord bless the word of testimony and the gospel.